The reading's from Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34 in the NIV. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labour or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendour was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Morning, everybody. Hope you're all well. We as a family have been away for about 10 days. We've got back on Friday, but we should have got back on Thursday. We had a bit of an eventful journey home. So we went to Romania, which is where Beck used to live. So she showed us around, and she thankfully spoke some of the language enough to buy us food and get by. And she also knew the bus system in Bucharest, where we were for 10 days, and how to get a train ticket to get to the coast. And she was our guide and language expert throughout the whole thing. But on the way home, after this lovely holiday, on the way home, we suffered a delay at the airport. And also, we were on holiday with my sister-in-law, her husband, and their two boys. And my sister-in-law, husband, one of her sons, and Anwan, my eldest, all got a sickness bug in the last 24 hours. So they were vomiting everywhere. And then we got to the airport just as they stopped. And then our aeroplane couldn't take off. There was one man who needed to get off, and then they decided to get everybody off because there was a technical fault, which they only discovered once this one man had to get off. It was all a bit confusing. So he may have saved our life, who knows. But anyway, we had to wait 11 hours then at the airport overnight till the following morning, and then we eventually got home. So it was a bit eventful, but we did have a good time, and it's great to be back, and great to have time to go away as well. It's a real blessing, isn't it? I know it's not true for everybody, but I know some of us have enjoyed holidays away. So, as Paul said at the beginning of the service, we're looking at wisdom, and we're coming towards the end of that series now. So we've spent most of the time, the past 6 weeks or so, in the book of Proverbs, which is the book of wisdom, full of all these little short sayings that help us to live life well, help to live life with wisdom. And we have talked about what wisdom is. I find this definition quite helpful. So wisdom is about experience, knowledge, and good judgment. You could break that down as thinking, well, experience is about the things you have done, and particularly what you've learnt from the things you've done. Or maybe it can be secondhand, you can learn from what other people have done. And that ties into knowledge, isn't it? It's the things we learn, the things we kind of take in our head, and some things we take into our heart as well. And that gives us wisdom, and that helps us to make good decisions, so good judgment, about knowing what to choose, which direction to go in. When you're faced with a dilemma, faced with a decision, you need wisdom in order to know to take this option or this option. Sometimes there's two, sometimes there's 10, sometimes there's 100 options. Which is the right one? Which should I go for? And wisdom helps us to make those decisions. And the key verse for the book of Proverbs comes at Proverbs 9, verse 10, which talks about the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. So it's where you start the journey. You start the journey with the fear of the Lord. And fear in this context doesn't mean being afraid, like, oh, I'm scared of God, I'm going to run away and hide from him, I need to get as far away as possible. This is a fear, this translation of this word would be awe and wonder. So acknowledging God's awesomeness, that's where the word awe comes from, is the beginning of wisdom. That's what sets us on this journey for making these right decisions, having this right good judgment and good knowledge in our head and in our heart, is recognizing who God is and how wonderful he is. And so we've talked about the importance of worship, because in worship we recognize God's awesomeness and we recognize our place within that, both that we're very small, but also that we are completely loved. And both those things put us in a good place to begin this journey of wisdom. The awe and worship of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So that's what we've been learning about. And you may have noticed, particularly if you were here last week, that wisdom is personified as a woman, which is perfect, isn't it? I know certainly my sense of direction is terrible, but my wife's is fantastic. She's the wise one in our family. She's the one who's making the good decisions. If you need to personify wisdom, who do you go to? You go to a woman. Because women are great at asking for directions, aren't they? And this is a massive generalisation. But generally, men don't like to ask for directions. Women are good at asking for directions and advice. And that is very wise. Whereas men are full of ego. Like, no, I don't need your help. That's not wise. Wisdom is a woman. You may have noticed as well in this morning's collect that the church is personified as a woman as well. She, the church. We pray for the church that she will be renewed. So, here we are this week, looking at some words that Jesus said. Jesus is wisdom. Jesus is the fulfillment of all wisdom. If we're thinking, how would God live in the world? If we're thinking, how should I live wisely? And then we think, well, God would know. How would God live as a human being? What would it look like for God to be in human flesh and to walk around on this earth and make decisions and interact with people, with rich people and poor people, with people who are full of themselves and people who think they're nothing? How would God live in that world? Well, we see it, don't we? We have it in Jesus. Jesus lived a wise life. Jesus said wise words. Jesus can teach us how to live wisely. Jesus can show us the path of wisdom. It begins with the awe of God, and we continue on that journey hand in hand with Jesus, following Jesus. That's the path of wisdom. So let's look at what Jesus said, some of Jesus' wise words of wisdom. Well, today's passage was from Matthew 6, and it can be summed up by Jesus saying, do not worry. That's what Jesus said in this morning's passage. Do not worry. I was trying to think of a time when I've been worried, a kind of particular time, and my mind jumped way back to about 1992 or 3. I was 12 or 13. Now, for those who are younger than me, you're thinking, Phil is ancient. And for those who are older than me, you're thinking, Phil is so young. The 90s were like a week ago. So yeah, I was about 12 or 13, and me and a group of my friends, there's about five or six lads, we in the summer we would go camping up Cloughs. Now, that wouldn't mean anything to you. Cloughs was a little bit of, there was kind of a stream and some farmers' fields and a valley just north of the village where we lived in. And the farmer either didn't know or allowed us to camp there. We have like an open fire, we put up these little tents, and it was a real sense of adventure, you know, away from mum and dad and away from Big Brother, and we were there kind of as our group of friends together. And one night we were camping out, the fire had died down, and it was probably about 2 a.m. or something, we were still talking and messing around. And suddenly we heard something hit one of our tents. And one of the lads in the group said, oh, what was that? And the rest of us thought, oh, I'm sure it's nothing, it's probably just something falling from a tree or something. But then there was another one. And then sort of two or three of us started to get a bit worried. And then there was another one, and then we all started to panic. We knew somebody was out there, and they were throwing things at our tents. And it was pitch black, 2 a.m, just us in this little valley. And, you know, quite away from a nearest road. There was no, this was away from roads and footpaths. So we started to get a bit worried. So what we decided to do was we sat in a circle all facing outwards because we weren't sure where these stones or whatever it was that was being thrown was coming from. But what was really interesting is that our personalities came out. Okay, so my friend James, he started getting really aggressive. He got a big stick and he was like, whoever you are, come out now. Now my personality, those who know me, that's not my tactic was to try and talk to them. It's okay. why don't you just come out and talk to us? We're not going to do you any harm. You know, I was trying to kind of reason with them, be the peacemaker. Whereas my mates were ready for a bloodbath, you know. And then eventually, the perpetrator of these throwing of stones came out. And it was this guy who's probably, in my mind he was old, but he was probably only about 19 or 20. And he lived in the village, and we'd see him in the pub. I mean, this is crazy, isn't it? We were about 13, but we used to go into the pub. But it was that kind of village. So we knew him, and he was an older lad. And his mum and dad came to church, so we knew him. And he'd just been to the pub and then thought, oh, I know the young lads are up Cloughs. Let's go up and, you know, cause some trouble for them. So he came out and, you know, had a chat with us and sat around the fire for a bit and then went away. But we were petrified. Couldn't believe the fear that it put inside of us to not know what was out there. That's it, isn't it? It's the darkness and the not knowing. And it was interesting to see how we all responded differently to fear and to worry. So Jesus says, do not worry. And the context of him saying do not worry is the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know how much you know about the Sermon on the Mount. It's a very famous passage of Jesus. And essentially Jesus is talking to his disciples. He gets them gathered round and he's talking to them about how to live life, how you should live. And he talks about different things. He talks about persecution, so he's letting them know that persecution is going to happen. He talks about reconciliation. He talks about forgiveness. You're going to need to forgive each other and others. He talks about purity. He talks about the dangers of lust. He talks about turning the other cheek. This is really hard stuff for them to hear. About loving your enemies. This seems impossible. He talks about giving to the needy. He talks about prayer and fasting. He talks about how to deal with money and wealth and possessions. And the disciples must be thinking, oh, this is so much. This is so much to take in. We've given up so many things in our life to follow this man, and yet he's telling us this is the way we've got to live, and it's just expanding our mind and our heart, and we're not sure that we can do it. And he says, in the midst of all this, he says, do not worry. Do not worry. So Jesus says, do not worry about your life. Have you ever heard the question, how do you eat an elephant? And the answer is, one bite at a time, isn't it? How do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? In other words, how do you deal with something that's so enormous? Well, you make a start with maybe a small bit. You make a start with a small piece. How do you deal with something overwhelming one bit at a time? So, in this do not worry passage, Jesus is saying, I know that this is a lot to take in. This lifestyle and way of living and way of being that I'm inviting you into is a lot to take in, and it's not going to be easy, but let me make it simple and manageable. Let me break it down for you. Do not worry, or do not be overwhelmed, you could put it. Instead, Jesus says, seek first the kingdom. So it's not just a do not, it's also a do. Do not worry, instead, seek first the kingdom. That's Jesus' advice. It's easy, isn't it, to be overwhelmed and to be worried, perhaps in your own life with things that are going on for you personally. When you look at the news and you see what's going on in the world, in Europe, in this country and throughout the world, it's really easy to be worried. It's really easy to be overwhelmed. Jesus says, in the midst of all this worry and things being overwhelming, Jesus says, focus on the kingdom. This is going to be your key to deal with this worry and this sense of being overwhelmed, is to have a focus. The thing he says to focus on is to focus on the kingdom. He says, seek first the kingdom. Set your eyes on that. Do not worry, seek first the kingdom. Now the kingdom is essentially life, God's way. We sometimes think about the kingdom being heaven, the place we perhaps go to or arrive at after we die, and there things will be God's way. But the kingdom in this world is things being God's way in this world. So your life shaped in a way that it's God's way. That's the kingdom. And so whenever a hungry person is fed, that's the kingdom. Even if it's done by a non-Christian, it's the kingdom. When an act of kindness or love is done, it's the kingdom. And the things that are coming against the kingdom are greed and envy and, you know, all the negative things are against the kingdom and all the positive things are for the kingdom. And Jesus says, seek that first. Make that your focus. Do not worry, instead, seek first the kingdom. I wonder if you've ever been really stressed and worried about something. And maybe you've been explaining it to a friend. Oh, you know, this is going on at work. I don't know what to do. I'm just so worried about it. And maybe your friend says, oh, don't worry. Does that help? No. Do you just think, oh, great, yeah, I won't worry? It doesn't work, does it? If someone says, don't worry, it doesn't make any difference. In fact, it can sometimes make it worse because it feels like they're dismissing all these things that you're carrying, you're concerned with. So Jesus doesn't say, oh, don't worry about it. He says, Do not worry, focus on the kingdom. In Ephesians, Paul puts it slightly differently, but he's essentially saying the same thing. Do not worry, pray. He says, do not worry about things. Instead, pray about everything. Have a focus. Instead of sitting in this kind of worry and just kind of sitting in this puddle of worry, focus on something. Step out of it and have a focus so that it's not weighing you down. You're not spiraling down and down through this worry into anxiety. And, you know, it just kind of becomes such a big cloud, doesn't it? Break through the cloud and have a focus. And Jesus says, focus on the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. You need to put something in the place of worrying. So instead of worrying, which achieves nothing, you need to focus on the kingdom. Jesus says, can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Obviously not. So we focus, we seek first the kingdom. And this is the wisdom of life. This is how to live life well, is to focus on the kingdom. Paul, as I've said in his letter to the Ephesians, writes that instead of worry, we should pray. When your mind starts to worry, give it a focus. Give it something to focus on. Take control of your thoughts. I feel like only just recently have I discovered that that's possible. I used to think that whatever was going on in my head, you know, my internal monologue of thoughts, I thought, well, that's just a fact. I can't do anything about that. It just rumbles on. And sometimes it's kind of singing a song. Sometimes it's thinking, oh, what am I going to have for tea? Or sometimes it's worrying about things. Oh, I've got that to do. And I've always thought that it's just, well, I can't do anything about that. It's just there. That's rubbish. We can take control of it. We can take control of it. In fact, it says that in Scripture, 2 Corinthians 10. Take every thought captive. It's possible. We don't just have to be subject to this internal monologue and wherever it wants to take us. We can take control of it and say, actually, I'm going to focus on something else. Because at the moment, all I'm thinking about is how that person has that and I wish I had it. I'm not going to think about that anymore. I'm going to think about something else. Or perhaps I'm thinking about how terrible something is and actually, I'm going to think about something else. We can take control. In fact, we have to take control. Otherwise, that spiral just goes down and down and down. Take captive your thoughts, it says in Scripture. We need a focus. So what is prayer? Well, it's focusing the mind and heart on God. It's giving it a focus. What is worship? We're focusing the mind and the heart on God. What does it mean to follow Jesus, to be a disciple? To focus your life on the kingdom, on things the way Jesus wants them to be. Life can give you lots to worry about. The world can give you lots to worry about. But Jesus says worry gets us nowhere. And instead, we need to seek God's way. We need to seek the kingdom. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Because that's our focus. That's what our lives should be about. We're seeking his kingdom here on the earth. Now, that's not easy. I'm not saying, oh, there, simple. Well, it kind of is simple, but it's not easy. They're two different things, aren't they? It can be simple to understand. We need life God's way. But it's another thing to try and do it, and it's hard. And it is hard. I'm not going to stand here and say it's easy. But it's simple. And the simple advice is to seek first the kingdom. In the midst of whatever's going on for you at the moment, whatever's going on in the world, seek the kingdom. And keep coming back to it. And you'll end up worrying again. You need to come back. You'll end up kind of distracted. You need to come back. Don't tell yourself off for getting distracted. You're human. It happens. Be kind to yourself. But get back to that focus and seek first the kingdom. Worry gets us nowhere. Let's focus our hearts and our minds on God. Let's seek first his kingdom. I'm going to pray for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your wise words, that in the midst of feeling overwhelmed and worried, you have advice for us to turn away from our worry and to turn to you, to seek first your kingdom. So I pray for all of us this morning that whatever worries we're facing, whether our concerns are with what's going on in the world or what's going on in our own lives, that you'd help us to focus on you. Lord, help us not just to be subject to whatever's going on in our minds, but to take control and say, no, I'm going to focus on the kingdom. I'm going to focus
on Jesus. I'm going to focus on life God's way. Lord, give us the strength we need to do this. Give us grace to make mistakes and to keep coming back to you, that we may see your kingdom come, your will be done in our lives and on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.